You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at The RDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
And regardless of circumstances, regardless of agendas, regardless of all the different agendas, every child deserves a mother and father. I didn't say every child gonna have one. Every child deserves a mother and a father. Ask the child, would you prefer to have a mother and father or two fathers? Ask the child, would you prefer to have a mother and a father or two mothers? Every child deserves a mother and father. I don't care what you want, what makes you happy. I'm talking about what your child deserves. And I believe the children are our future. Teach them well. Let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride. Look at somebody and say, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. Oh, y'all came to the right service today. The first service didn't get all this. Glory to God. Amen. Every child. I didn't have my mother and father weren't together. Okay. And the reason why, my mother and father never got divorced. Never got divorced. They both had other men. She had other men and then other women for him. You know, they never got divorced. And my father, he always believed they're going to get back together. My mother used to say, I love your daddy. I just can't live with your daddy. Because he got addicted to drugs and changed everything. Changed the whole trajectory of his life. And everybody's talking about what a great man he was, what a wise man. And part of the reason why I was so bitter and angry as a child come, because I kept hearing about how great he was that I never got a chance to see. I kept seeing how smart he was that I never got. Even Aunt Dottie liked him. My Aunt Dottie said, the only worth of those bellies worth a blank was your daddy. None of those bellies anything. They all full of blankety blank. The only belly worth anything was your daddy. Yes, she liked my daddy. He didn't like nobody else. Ain't not a whole people like a lot of people like her either. But every child deserves. And so listen, y'all. Now watch this. Let me go deeper. I'm gonna get real natural with you. I'm gonna get real practical with you. I'm going to get real practical with you. Some of y'all, we ain't going to stop y'all from having sex. You're going to do what you're going to do. But think before you bring a baby into this world. You're going to do, you're going to screw who you're going to screw. There ain't nothing I say or another preacher going to say to change it. But you ought to think about, do I want to bring a child into this? And if you came up without a mother or without a father, you came up not in the best of circumstances, think about it. Would you want your child in the same situation or would you want to create a better situation for your child? I have seen situations and people got married and I saw it was a real high risk marriage and I begged them. I said, now listen, I said, we're going to try to help y'all make this thing last. I said, but don't have a baby. I said, y'all don't need to have any children until this thing gets solidified. Because every child deserves a mother and a father. So as much as you can, do what you can to bring your child into the best situation. I'm going to go deeper. Since I'm digging today, let's go deeper. Every child deserves a mother and a father. And if you're going to have children, think about the type of situation that you're bringing them into because it's bigger than you. You don't have children because you need somebody to love you. You need therapy, not a child. I just need somebody to love me. You need therapy. it's going to be a long time before that child loves you. That child will love any breast that got milk in it. And it ain't about you. That's why they had nursing mammies. And that's why they had, because the child just needs the needs met. And being a parent is about meeting kids' needs. This way I got ready to go deeper. And the reason why I say don't have children, because some of y'all, this relationship is already very, 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 very shaky. And bringing a child into it is going to shake it up more. And once you have a child, you're no longer living for you. Once you have a child, this ain't about you anymore. Well, I deserve to be happy. Nope, the child deserves to be happy. I deserve to have fun. Nope, the child deserves to have fun. You're going to put your phone on reserve. I'm serious. I know y'all don't hear this. I rejoice in children being born. I don't rejoice over the situations in which they're being born. Whatever that, no, nothing against the child. Child didn't do anything wrong. But some of these situations that we're celebrating is not worth celebrating. We need a prayer meeting. We need a prayer meeting. Oh, help me, Jesus. They're going to be so mad at me. We don't need a baby shower. We need a prayer meeting. Let's get together and pray. Let's pray for this child. Let's pray for this parent. Let's pray to God surround them. We celebrate like this, and like this is just two responsible people who got a great future and money and a nice housing. No, this is a mess. And we got to pray for this child, that the child be okay despite the mess in which they're being born. All I'm saying, y'all, and I'm not trying to put anybody in condemnation about what you have done, but I am trying to make you think about what you do. I preach about our marriages being strong, staying together, and that God's best is not divorce. I'm never trying to put anybody in condemnation who's been divorced and married a second or third time. What I'm trying to do is make them make this one a quality one. So it's not about putting you in condemnation about anything or a situation. I'm trying to help those of you who are younger, who are out here sleeping around, who are out here going to do what you're going to do, to think about the situation that we're bringing these children into. And once you bring a child, your mindset got to change. Your mindset got to change. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about me. It ain't even no longer about my happiness. I got to do the best I got to do for these children. I got to do what I got to do to make this child's life good. I got to do what I got to do to make this child happy. Oh, because the child can't fend for themselves. I'm going to put my happiness on delay so I can be the best father I can be for this child and the best mother I can be for this child. This summer, Pastor Marshall and I, we're going to be taking a trip over to Europe. And I said to my son and daughter-in-law, the attorneys, I told him, I think we're going to go tonight. We said, we're going to spend a day in Paris and finally have lunch, even though we've been to Paris before. Finally have lunch at the Eiffel Tower. I found that you got to make your reservations early. She said, it must be nice. My daughter-in-law said to me, it must be nice. I said, yeah. I said, and after your children graduate from college and do it, I said, you'll be able to go too. She said, we won't have to wait that long. I said, well, that's a blessing. And they rolling. They good. They don't have to wait that long. But I wanted to do all of that. But if I did that when I was need to put my children through college, I would have been putting my happiness and my desires before my responsibility as a parent. So certain things had to go on delay. Come on. Yes, you do need to sacrifice for children. And watch this. And if you sacrifice, and they see that you put them first, and they see, come on, they'll rise up and call you blessed. Hallelujah. Like I was talking about how I'm going to do things. I was talking about how I'm going to set things up to do maybe reverse mortgage later. But, you know, if God don't bless me, pay this house off. And my son said, Dad, you don't need to be doing that. No, we need to keep this house in the family. And I said, he said, how much money do you need? He said, how much money do you think you're going to need? I said, well, with everything I got set up, I said, he said, how much money? I said, well, whatever, what I already got going. I said, about 10,000. He said, Dad, I got you. I'm telling the world. Everybody heard it. I wish I had it on tape, recorded. He said, Dad, I got you. He said, with my trajectory, first he said my trajectory, then he put his brother and sister. He said, we all doing all right. We all, it went from me to we. So you in there too, Pastor Chandler. We'll be able to give you $10,000 a month. And then he went on to say, he said, with all you've done for us and the way you sacrificed for us, that's the least we can do. Your children rise up and call you blessed. And at the same time, you want a child to resent you? Spend your time partying when you should be taking care of them. Spend your time hanging out with somebody because you want to be happy at their expense. I mean, really, I think about it. I sometimes I really don't want to talk because I know sometimes my sister's watching. And I know, yeah, she watched right now. I know, but it's reality, okay? It's reality. My mother took a night job. And sometimes I think about that. She took a night job, and I guess it's the best she could do, but I don't know. She took a night job with four kids at home at night by themselves. I resent that to this day. God spared my life. And my brothers and sisters, they were teenagers out in the streets. And I was sitting at home in the projects by myself with a rickety lock that the wind would blow and the door would shake. And I remember being terrified. I remember sitting up on the couch by myself in the apartment with mice running around chasing each other. Jumping up and back of the, y'all don't know, a Caponis. Y'all remember those big old TV, radio, 8-track, all in one joints? Some of y'all have no clue what I'm talking about. And the mice, they would jump up, and I would be on top of the couch, sitting there, trying not to cry loud. Because I thought if I cried loud, the mice would go, what you doing on here? I resent that. I resent being home by myself. And then my mother got a boyfriend. When she got a boyfriend, when she was supposed to come on Friday night, sometimes she was gone the whole weekend. And my brothers and sisters out in the street. And I'm just fan for myself. And thank you, Lord, that he had his hand on my life. Oh, my God. It's all in the grace of God. I didn't get addicted to drugs, too. It's all in the grace of God. I didn't become five different girls' baby daddies. The grace of God. So me getting saved, I was glad to get saved. I need a different kind of life than I've been exposed to. I need a different kind of life than what I'm seeing with my brothers and sisters. It got to be something better than this. So Jesus, if you can do something with my life, I give my life to you. I want something different than what I'm being exposed to. That's why I got saved as a kid. That's why I got saved. And it was the best decision I could ever make in my life. Changed the whole trajectory of my children's children. Look at your neighbor, says bigger than you. Man, Jesus. Hallelujah. So David perceived the Lord established him the king. And the point I'm supposed to be making right now is that you are God's choice. Say it again, I'm God's choice. Chosen, it means to have been selected, having been selected as the best or most appropriate. Best or most appropriate. And I'm so glad it said most appropriate, because the truth of the matter is God's chosen many of us and we weren't the best. People far more talented than us. people better looking than us. Somebody say, ain't nobody better looking than me. You think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Okay. Somebody have more degrees than you. Somebody have more experience than you. Some of us, we weren't the best, but we're the most appropriate. Best doesn't necessarily mean the most superior of all available. Sometimes it means the one who's going to get the job done. God will choose people who are going to get the job done. God will choose people who will be so grateful that he chose them that they got their mind made up. God, I don't want to let you down. God, I'm going to be steadfast and movable. I'm going to keep abiding in the abounding in the work of the Lord. God didn't choose David's brothers. He chose him. And it was not accidental. He intentionally chose him. Say that. Say, God has intentionally chose me. The truth of the matter is, Paul says in Ephesians, he chose us before the foundation of the world. Look at 1 Samuel 16 again. Remember in 1 Samuel 16, when Samuel goes down to Jesse's house, he says, have all of your sons available. God has chosen one of them to be king. David wasn't even in the lineup. So we pick up at 1 Samuel 16, verse 8. It says, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the look of it. And look what it says. I like the King James. Neither has the Lord chosen this. He didn't even say him. God ain't chosen this. Abinadab ain't chosen this. And then Jesse made Shammah pass by. Surely Shammah the one. Don't Shammah just sound anointed? Shammah. I mean, anybody named Shammah ought to, hey, Shammah. I mean, that just sound anointed, but he wasn't the one. And Jesse said, made Shammah to pass by. And Samuel said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Gone, gone, gone. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. I want you to catch this. Whatever God has chosen you for, he had other options. Whatever God has chosen you to do, he had other options. He looked past them to choose you. Okay? This wasn't random. When God chooses you, it's not random. Now, again, when I grew up at the Born in the Project, we used to play some straight up ghetto games, y'all. Straight up ghetto. Pastor Moss didn't even know. We used to play this game called Hot Peas and Butter. Anybody know about Hot Peas and Butter? Okay? Let me tell you what hot peas and butter. Hot peas and butter was you grab the belt and people went hide and seek, and when you found them, you start beating them with the belt. Hot peas and butter! Now, somebody's, oh no, we weren't playing that. Somebody about to get hurt. You won't get some hands, that's what you won't get. So you hide the belt. And then they go around looking, then you try to act, and while the people around, then you wouldn't go and see, and you go, hot peas and butter! Play kickball, all this shit, but we played, and then when you choose who's going to be in your team, kids don't know nothing about this now. We just go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch a piggy by his toe. If you holler, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And next part, I don't quite remember. My mama told me. I never learned that part. Now, little kids, y'all don't even know what this is. Kids, see, because all kids do now, nigga. That's why our parents made go outside. When we went outside, we learned how to play. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch a piggy by. When you did that, you made random choices. You didn't know who is wherever your finger ended up at the end, at the foot. God didn't choose you randomly by saying eeny, meeny, miny, moe. He looked over people and chose you. Look at somebody and say, I'm not a random choice. Ooh, gee, I'm not a random choice. I am an intentional choice. By God. So God choosing you is not a random act. Look at Psalms 89 and 20. The Bible says about David, who he ends up choosing to be the second king. Psalms 89 and 20 says, I have found my servant David. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. I have found. Found implies that God was looking for him. Found implies that God was making a search. I have found out of all the people I could use, out of all the people I could anoint, out of all the people I could put my blessing on, I have found David. And then we see that again in Acts 13 and 22. It gives us a little more details. It said, and when he had removed him, him being Saul, the first king, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. I'm looking for somebody who's going to do what I tell you to do. Oh, my God. I'm looking for somebody who's going to say, Lord, not my will, but your will. Not my ideas, but your ideas. Not my plans, but your plan. God, I don't want you to fit your will into my plans. I want my plans to be in your will. God said, I'm looking for somebody who's going to fulfill my agenda. Whenever God raises up somebody, y'all need to catch this, especially young people, everybody trying to get rich. God doesn't just bless you because he wants you to be rich. He wants you to fulfill purpose. If you fulfill purpose, I'll make you rich. If you fulfill purpose, I'll supply all your needs. If you fulfill purpose, I'll give you unforeseen money. If you fulfill purpose, I'll bless you with things you didn't even have to buy. If you fulfill purpose, I'll surround you with favor like a shield. The issue is, what is the will of God for my life? If you get in the will of God, money will be the least of your problems. He said, I'm looking for somebody who will fulfill my will. So the Lord told me to tell somebody here today, rejoice because you're God's choice. Somebody go ahead and rejoice because you're God's choice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I need you to look at parenting different. I need you to look at parenting different. This child is a challenge. This child is getting on my nerves right now. But he wasn't getting on your nerves, he'd be getting on somebody else's nerves. But you the person who got the strategy. God given you the opportunity. You are God's choice to redirect that child. You are God's choice to raise them up in the fear of the admonition of the Lord. You are God's choice to get them on the path for their life. You are God's choice to invest in them so that God can get a harvest and a return from them. Somebody shout, I'm God's choice. 2 Samuel 6, verse 20 through 21. David now is established as king. He's feeling good about himself. He's not apologizing. And the Ark of the Covenant had been mishandled. And as a result of that, they didn't have the right people to handle and bring it back to Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant was literally a big box that the commandments were in that represented the presence of the Lord. And when the wrong people touched it, people died. And then they dropped it. And so it was in the house of a man by the name of Obed-Edom. And it was in there. How long was it there? 3 months? 90 days? Come on. But it was in the house of Obed. And long as the presence of God was there, his house was blessed. And so finally, they get the Ark of the Covenant. And they're able to bring it back to Jerusalem. And David is excited. He's able to lead the processional of the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And so we pick up here 2 Samuel 6 and 20. So David returned to bless his household. He's so happy. We got the ark back. 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 Woo! Ark back. He's rejoicing. He's excited. And David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, the one he didn't even ask for. You remember that line from Color Purple? I didn't even ask your hand in marriage. He didn't ask for her. He got her because he defeated Goliath. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. And she starts riding on David. She starts railing on David. She starts making fun of David. She starts rebuking David. And I just picture her in this sarcastic voice because she was a woman who didn't know how to honor her husband with her words. Don't get me started. Ladies, a man wants you to respect him more than you. He wants you to love him. Let me say it again. Ladies, you need to get this. A man wants you to respect him more than he wants you to love him. To a man, respect is love. Some of y'all never heard that. To a man, respect is love. They have been survey after survey. Would you rather a woman love you or respect you, men? And the men overwhelmingly say, I need respect. Don't talk to me like that. Don't put your hand all up in my face and doing all this. And doing all this. Let me tell you. Are you a wife or a cheerleader? I have never, 38 years, my wife has never talked to me like that. Never put her hands on my face. Never did any of that. Okay? I dated early on some girls who looked like they was about to do that. And I was like, next. I'm not debating. I'm not trying to teach you how to respect a man and how to talk to a man. Obviously, your mama didn't. And obviously, you didn't have a man in the house who you saw respected. But I ain't going to be your teacher. Brothers, some of y'all need to come talk. Some of y'all, it's too late for OJT. You don't have time to be training them on the job. He that findeth a wife, not maketh a wife. He that findeth a wife, which means you need to have wifely qualities before you get married. Just like you want a man to have some husbandly quality. What's some husbandly quality? You need to have a job. You need to be paying some bills. Do you have a car? Is this your car, your mama's car? What, you want some husbandly qualities. You don't have no time to be raising him. Now, this is how you fill out an application. You ain't trying to do that after you get married. You wanted him to have certain qualities before he get married. He wants you to have certain qualities. And just because you got a real nice weave, that ain't quality. A quality weave and a quality wife are two different things. Boy, I'm flowing this morning. If you got a quality weave, don't make you a quality wife. Brothers, you got to be careful. You don't know what that really, if you go on a date, that ain't them, that's their representative. Gotta get comfortable. Me and Pastor Trey, we got these things that our pastor, we talk about some stuff. And brothers, we concluded that all of you, men and women, you need to go through two seasons of every season with somebody before you marry them. Two winters, two springs, two falls, what I leave out. Two summers. Because people have different seasons. No, I'm very serious. A woman can be real nice and while she's pregnant in December. July, get here. Get away from me! I'm hot! Seasons change. You need to know how people act in different seasons. Brother, you don't know what you got. Get home, take the weave off. Take the eyes out. Yeah. You find it. Oh, your eyes black. I've been dating you for, I thought you really had green eyes. Eyelashes come off. Butt inserts come out, tissues come out the breast. You don't know what you got.
If you love our podcast and the impartation you gain from it, we encourage you to become an iChurch member. As an iChurch member, you'll get access to exclusive digital content as well as an online community and various small group sessions. To find out more, visit rdci.info/iChurch. Connect with us for digital impartation weekly. Join Bishop Herbert and Dr. Marsha Bailey on Clubhouse for Marriage, Faith, and Family inside Kingdom Business Network on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/RDCITV. We stream live services on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as well as Wednesday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ladies, join us for Manifest on Fridays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time.